Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
It's Film Festival Radio, the show where superstars and future stars happily coexist together. And now, here's your host, Janice Malone. Film Festival Radio. It's superstars and future stars together on the same show. It's groovy movies, music around. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone, here manning the controls, trying to keep it all together here. I think I'm doing a fairly good job of that. We have just an amazing array of guests. If you've been following the show for the past, 9 years? We've been doing the show for 9 years. Our anniversary, I should say, will be January. Yeah, about 10th year. Man, we have had hundreds and hundreds. Oh my God, just so many guests, touched guests. You can go to our iTunes page and just listen to some of the previous shows. We've had a lot of fun with our guest here. And today's show is of no exception. We have gentlemen, we have three very talented gentlemen as our guest, and they are all, their talents are all rooted in the entertainment industry. One is a, but I'll say two are legends in their respective areas of creation, creating product, creating content. And we have an independent filmmaker who has been out here just putting out those independent films for a number of years. And we'll have all of them featured in this one show. Well, our first guest is a household name. He is a world-renowned health practitioner in the alternative health field. He's a best-selling author, a public speaker, alternative medicine advocate here. And of course, of the many things that he does and has accomplished, he is also a longtime friend of Oprah Winfrey. I'm talking about Deepak Chopra here. He has been touring the world for the last, I guess, couple of years or so, making people aware of how we can heal ourselves in various different ways, which he is such an expert in doing. The title of his seminars and lectures is called The Future of Well-Being. And it's just, if you haven't heard about it or read about it, I highly suggest that you go online and just get all of the information. And if he is coming to a city near you, you can also go out and purchase tickets and be a part of what it's all about. And I'll tell you more details about that shortly. In addition, we have a legend in television. We're talking about veteran producer, actor, writer, Norman Lear. And as we all know, Norman Lear has created some of the best hit sitcoms probably that television has ever seen. And a lot of these TV shows we grew up on, Sanford and Son, Good Times, All in the Family, The Jeffersons, Maude, and just so many others. Well, on October 25th, there is a documentary coming on PBS's American Masters that is all about the amazing life that Norman Lear has had up to this point. And at the rate that he is going, I don't think it looks like he's going to be slowing down anytime soon at age 94. He is still doing a lot of great television. So we'll be chatting with him. And our final guest is an independent filmmaker, producer, writer, stand-up comic, Greg Travis. And Greg has a film. It's actually, it really was created back in 1984, but it was released earlier this month. It's called Dark Seduction. And it is in the vein of being a horror film, But it's a bit of a comedy. It's in the film noir style, which I personally love, black and white films like that. But Greg will be on the show to tell us more about the making of the film. I'll tell you this hint. We're talking about vampires. Yeah, female vampires. That's all I'll tell you. Greg will tell you the rest. But it's a lot of fun. The movie is a lot of fun. You can go on YouTube and there is a documentary about the making of the film Dark Seduction. So just go to YouTube. In the search box, type in documentary. I think it's called Dark Seduction Documentary. And it will download and you can look at it. And if you like what you see, and I know you should, really, we're in the Halloween season. It is a lot of fun. So I highly suggest that you go and do that. So anyway, let's get to our first guest here. As I said earlier, Deepak Chopra is a nationally, internationally known public speaker, alternative medicine advocate, a best-selling author, and just an all-around expert in the areas of helping us to feel better mentally, physically, and emotionally. His workshops, seminars that he's doing throughout the world is called The Future of Well-Being. And what it is about generally is an outline, sort of like a roadmap to higher health based on the latest findings in both mainstream and alternative medicine. And Deepak will be appearing in Nashville, Tennessee, just a few days from now, October 26th at the Vanderbilt University Langford Auditorium. And so if you would like to attend, there is still time left for you to get your tickets. And I will give you the information about where you can get the tickets and what have you, all of the details. I'll give you that because first, I want you to listen to what he has to say about these seminars, The Future of Well-Being. And then when he gives you the information directly, hopefully that will cause you to want to go out, get the tickets. And listen, if you're not in Nashville, if you don't live in Nashville, and you won't be there October 26th, don't panic. As I said, he is going throughout North America and throughout the world doing and providing these seminars. So go to the website, and I'll give it to you after we do the chat. And go to the website and see if he's coming to a city where you live or close by. But for sure, Nashville people, October 26th, Vanderbilt University Langford Auditorium. He will be there and also selling copies of his latest book. All of that will be available as well. So without any further delay, let's get to my recent chat with the one and only, such a smart man. I just love listening to him because he's just exudes so much smartness and so much insight about how the body works, the mind works, and what have you. So I was just so thrilled to chat with him. So let's take a listen to my recent chat just a couple of days ago with Deepak. Here we go.
Hello.
Good morning, Deepak. This is Janice Malone calling for your interview. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm just wonderful. Just full of energy here, ready to talk with you.
Okay, let's go.
Well, as everyone should know, that our followers of your social media and your books, you are enlightening and teaching everyone about the future of well-being through your workshops and lectures. So I'd like to start by asking you, in layman's terms, exactly what is conscious evolution all about?
Okay, so conscious evolution is about reaching higher states of consciousness, which means going beyond the logical mind and tapping into intuition, creativity, higher vision, transcendence, understanding the natural expression of truth, goodness, beauty, harmony, love, compassion, joy, equanimity, and ultimately getting to know yourself, that part of your being which is not in time, which is not in space, which is therefore not subject to birth or death. How's that?
I think that's a very good definition in layman's terms for people like myself there. So how does one begin to get into that consciousness, and how, and what role does what we eat, what we drink, and what we think play into that way of living?
It plays a role, but you don't have to necessarily think that you have to change everything drastically to the point where it causes stress, because a lot of what we eat and drink and how we live is based on what is called cultural conditioning. And if you try and change that too rapidly, and then it can cause stress. So I would say you start with some kind of contemplative practice, like body awareness, breath awareness, what is called mindfulness, and then you go into a deeper aspect of contemplative practice, which is self-inquiry and inquiry of relationship, inquiry of your connection to the universe, and then some kind of meditation practice that helps you go to the source of thought, which is something that I'll be actually teaching when I'm there. And sometimes just starting with a meditation practice spontaneously changes your other habits.
I definitely understand that. The environment in which all of us are around, I can tell from experience that is definitely a big role factor in getting into a better consciousness, for sure.
Well, the environment is a projection of our collective consciousness. So you can't change the environment, but you can change yourself. And slowly, if enough people change, then the environment changes.
I keep reading that that sciences, different elements, areas of science is in the midst of a major paradigm shift. Does that mean that science is now embracing more natural and holistic elements, or what does that mean?
Some people are finding scientific validation for these holistic practices, and slowly it is entering the mainstream, yes.
And that's very good to hear. I love that. I am a big practitioner of holistic eating and drinking and vitamins and getting in touch with nature and such.
Yeah, me too.
So now that you've been doing the Future of Wellbeing, what do you call them? Were there lectures or workshops or what?
I do lectures like the one I'm doing in Tennessee. Then I do workshops that last up to a week long. And we also certify teachers and doctors in California who want to get deeper into more specifics, and that takes about 2 years.
Okay. And so what type of, and I know you must have a tremendous amount of feedback, positive feedback from people who have adopted this way of living and thinking, but just one or two, I guess you could say, testimonials from people who have really learned from the Future of Wellbeing workshops.
Well, first of all, they have much more energy. On the level of, physical well-being, they feel that their body is joyful and energetic. They don't get tired, and they are engaged in their work and their social relationships, and they experience more love and compassion, and they are more carefree and not stressed. And then, of course, they want to go to the next level, which we call higher states of consciousness.
I definitely am glad to see this, because I know so many people who are, including myself, deal with stress. In fact, I was just at the doctor last month, and he was telling me how a lot of his patients are being so stressed out just from this presidential election and all of the mayhem that's going on with that. And I just found that really, really interesting that people are allowing the election to stress them out so much. Oh, my goodness.
Well, in many cases, the leaders also reflect our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Well, I know you have a plane to catch, and I have just really 1.5 more questions here.
Okay, go ahead.
Are there any upcoming activities or events or projects that you and Oprah are going to be working on that you can speak of right now, or what?
We have a meditation that's just being offered right now online. It's about peace and relationship. Very timely for what is happening. And so people can find out more about that when they go to ChopraCenterMeditation.com, and then of course Oprah will be soon resuming when the season is next season, her Super Soul Sunday, and I'm sure to be involved.
Yes, I am on the mailing list for I've been on it for like over a year now with you guys, and just fabulous sessions. I love them.
Thank you.
And the last I guess the last question I wanted to ask you is, what is the one thing that a person can do to start experiencing and going on the road and the journey to be having a more conscious evolution about their lives?
Ask yourself every day when you wake up, what is my life's purpose and what am I grateful for? Just those two questions, start your journey.
That's a good start. That is a really, and that's very simple to do. Doesn't cost anything.
Yeah.
Well, Deepak, thank you so very much. I know you're very busy.
Sure.
You're en route, and I will see you and Oprah, through the meditation sessions. I'm a member.
Very good.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Safe travels to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay. Well, as you can hear, he was en route. As I said, he is traveling throughout the world presenting this information, this wonderful information that all of us can certainly use in the areas of healing and getting our bodies and our minds, especially our minds, together. And I'm really happy to hear just a sampling of what he had to say about how science and alternative health are now working together in certain areas. And the whole object of the situation is to make all of us feel better, look better, and think better. So again, if you are in the Nashville area on October 26th, Deepak will be appearing at Vanderbilt University's Langford Auditorium. It is on the campus of, obviously, Vanderbilt University. The events start promptly at 7:30, but there will be a VIP reception with Deepak starting at 6 p.m. The doors open at 6. And the doors for the VIP reception, where you can do a meet and greet with Deepak, start at 5:30. Now, if you haven't done so already, I know this event has been promoted heavily in the local Nashville media, so maybe you've already purchased your tickets. But if you have not, it is not too late, because this is what you can do. You can go to the website Eventbrite, Brite.com. Everybody's familiar with Eventbrite. And go to their box and just type in Deepak Chopra Live in Nashville. Tickets, and you can get the prices of the tickets, the start times, again, all of that. And if you can't remember all of that, maybe you don't have a pencil right near you, you can just email me, filmfestivalradio@gmail.com, and I will send you the link. I'm really making this easy for you. The only thing that I'm not doing is paying for it for you. You know what? If I had the resources, like, you know, people like Oprah and Sting and those kind of people, I would do it. I would buy a block of tickets for a certain amount of listeners, because as people who really, really know me, I am a big practitioner of alternative health. I have worn out 4 top juice machines. And I'm very much in, and I've done this for many, many years. This is not something that I just started. I've really been into juicing and alternative healing and what have you for many, many years. And so I say this with all due respect. This is not, you know, to be funny or anything, but if I did have the financial resources, I would buy a certain amount of free tickets to our listeners and give them to you for the Nashville show. That's just how much I believe in what he teaches and what, you know, what this is all about to keep us healthy. So anyway, again, if you need any more information, you can just also go to the Vanderbilt University's website and type in the Langford Auditorium and you'll see all the information there. So you cannot have any excuse for not going. Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be chatting with our next guest, the one and only, the legendary Norman Lear. So stay tuned. We will be right back.
Hey, I'm Sherry Shepherd, and you're listening to Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone.
Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone will be right back after this. We're back with Film Festival Radio. Here's your host, Janice Malone.
Okay, we are back here. And as I said earlier, we have been talking with the world-renowned best-selling author, Deepak Chopra, and he will be in Nashville on October 26th. So make sure you go out to get your tickets to hear the very important information that he has to share about health, living better, thinking better, the whole gamut to make our bodies function at 100% capacity. So we are now moving right along to our next guest. As I said earlier, Norman Lear is a legend. He's a household name. His TV shows and programs have been just legendary in the areas of sitcoms, creator of All in the Family, Good Times, Sanford and Son, The Jeffersons, Maude, One Day at a Time. Oh, I could just go on all day. But at the age of 94, Norman Lear is still making great television. Just for the month of October, he has 2 very important pieces of TV going on. He, along with Shonda Rhimes, are the executive producers of the multi-part series America Divided, which has been airing since September 30th, yeah, on the Epix television network. And that will be airing all the way up until November the 4th. And on the 25th, Deepak has his big seminar on the 26th in Nashville. But on the 25th, a documentary film, Norman Lear, Just Another Version of You, will be airing on the PBS award-winning series, American Masters. And we all know, we love American Masters. You know, they put out some great, great shows. But this is a documentary about the amazing life thus far of Norman Lear at the age of, as I said, of 94. He probably is just, you know, just warming up. Who knows what he will do at age 100. He might do, you know, another epic or something. But anyway, this documentary, Norman Lear, Just Another Version of You, will be airing from 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS. So check your local listings for the exact time in your area. Just as I did with Deepak, I so enjoyed talking with Norman Lear. How many times do we get to actually talk to a real legend such as Mr. Lear? And so it is with great pleasure and all due respect that I bring to you now my recent interview with the one and only Norman Lear. So take a listen.
Hello. Hi, good morning. This is Janice Malone with Film Festival Radio Show calling for our interview with Mr. Norman Lear.
And this is he.
Well, good morning. I think I'm about 4 minutes early, but I have this thing about being late, so.
That's okay. I'm calling. Here.
Okay, well, first of all, I'd like to say what an honor it is to speak to such an entertainment legend such as yourself. This is a real pleasure for me.
Thank you. It's the same pleasure on this side because this is the moment I waited for.
Well,
I spent 94 years, some months, weeks, days, moments, just to get to this moment talking to you.
Here we are. I really think it is. Well,
everything's
you've
so
had a lot going on.
This. Yes, a lot going
and it's
on.
Been a lot. It's been a lot going on. I mean, just for October alone, America Divided, and one of the producers of that, and now Norman Lear, just another version of you. So how did all of this come about for this documentary? Did they approach you, or you approach them, or what?
American Masters has for years asked if I would do it with, and individual producers on their behalf. I was never of a mind, and I was not interested necessarily in the people that approached me. But I had seen Jesus Camp some years ago and a couple of others of the documentaries made by Rachel Grady and Heidi Ewing, and I was knocked out when they came to ask if they could do it. And the understanding was that they would do it. I would have nothing to do with it, but the interviews when they asked me. And that's the way it went. They made their film, and it was as good a decision as I've ever made because I love their work.
I've seen clips of it, and I've seen it, and it's just, it brings back a lot of memories as a child, looking at some of the clips of some of the wonderful sitcoms that you created, but also to look at a lot of the, your beginnings of how you started out in this whole crazy business, which was very interesting for me to see. And I wanted to ask you, you were just this young lad from Connecticut, young Jewish boy, humble beginnings. Was entertainment, show business, was that something that you originally wanted to do, or did it just kind of fall into your life?
No, it happened. I was a kid of the Depression. Everybody was belly up, broke. And I have one uncle who used to flick me a quarter, and he said that he was a press agent. I had no idea what a press agent was. But I wanted to be Uncle Jack. I wanted to be an uncle who could flip a quarter to a nephew. And that was my role model. So I wanted to be a press agent long before I knew what that was. And that indeed is what I came out to California to do. And bumped into a guy who wanted to be a comedy writer. So that's how it began.
And so did your Uncle Jack... Did he ever get a chance to see some of your success?
No. He passed on before all that happened. Oh. He saw the bees. Well, he was Martin and Lewis at the very beginning, but not the latter part.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, you have produced and written some of the most successful sitcoms in television history that so many of us enjoy. We grew up watching them and laughing and learning from them. But initially, was it a risk for you and your team to launch a show like All in the Family or what?
No, it wasn't a risk. I was broke. I had two kids. I needed to make a living. It needed to work. That was my risk. I didn't think of it the establishment, the network thought of it as so daring and so, the kind of subject matter. From my standpoint, we were dealing with the subject matter that was of the neighborhood. you know, there was a family living across the street or up the street or down the street or our own family going through the things we were writing about. It was nothing, all of that. It was just that the establishment never dared to talk about real life.
I can only imagine the pitch meeting at CBS at the executive table. So did it ever get kind of heated or fiery or what during the pitch for this show?
Well, no, it never got heated because, I mean, there was nothing to get angry about. People just disagreed. But the kind of things they did, they thought was, it couldn't go on television into the American home, I thought were silly, just plain silly. You can't deal with menopause, it's everywhere. You can't deal with the economic difficulties of working. You can't deal with hypertension, or I don't know, there were subject after subject that was what we were all living, but the biggest problem they wanted to deal with was the roast is ruined and the boss is coming to dinner.
It was not quite what America was dealing with at home, for sure.
No.
Having so much fun chatting with you already.
I like that line. I like it too.
Well, I was just, looking at many of your so many hit shows, you guys took on some really unpopular topics: race, politics, social activism, feminism. So it did, and after the show started airing and becoming so well known, did any of the controversy, did it ever impact your life away from the set? Do you ever have any threats and hate mail and all that kind of stuff, or what?
Oh, yeah. There was certainly a degree of that. Jerry Falwell sent out a large mailing calling me, quote, the number one enemy of the American family in our generation.
And
that caused me to get some death threats that were so serious, at least my people advising me thought it's so serious that they insisted I get protection. And, there was a reasonable amount of that kind of thing.
That's very surprising that, a man of God, so to speak, that's pretty strong. My goodness.
Oh, men of God, it can be fierce. In God's name.
In God's name. I call them the Christian Mafia. That's my term for them.
it's a very good, apt description.
I agree. My goodness. Well, also, the character JJ from Good Times went on to get a lot of backlash about being too stereotypical. Did that surprise you and your writers, or what?
No, because we all wondered about it. He was just so funny. And because we're on every single week, and it was an easy laugh, we perhaps let too many of them go. I mean, he did more than was necessary. But excess is a unique American product.
Yes.
We have excess everywhere we look. And I think maybe Dynamite was a little excessive. But he was as popular as any figure I can remember on television. They just loved him, and they wanted to hear it again and again.
Now, his catchword phrase, Dynamite, was that something that he just created during rehearsal or just impromptu or what? Or did you guys write that?
Well, the word was written, but his delivery of it was unique to him. He did the word. No writer was responsible for that delivery. So it wasn't the word, it was the way he did it.
Definitely. So, yeah, I think that every kid probably in that back then, I call it junior high school and elementary school, must have been saying that word back then, the way he delivered it.
Yeah.
But a lot of the backlash that you guys received from the public, how did it affect on the set, the actors, the producers, did it have any effect?
Well, it had some. If you look at Just Another Version of You, you will see a discussion with Esther Rolle, where she was, there were two things going on in the actress. One was the grown, mature woman who thought it was excessive, and she was quite right. And the other was the actress who wanted the laughs that J.J. was earning. And the actor, John Amos, who spoke about it, you know, that he was taking up, and the way he put it was taking up too much time, the joke and the laughter following. And so a perfectly normal human actor, the kind of thing that took place on sets everywhere, both were occurring.
I see. Do you think that those hit shows, those sitcoms, what kind of impact do you think that they had on society and pop culture?
Well, the part that I delight in is how often I hear today, how often I hear people telling me that they saw it as a family and they laughed together. And I'm hearing all the time, you should have heard my dad laughing at George Jefferson or Archie Bunker, or the families sitting together and laughing together. I thought, and I have reason every week to think that 30 times a week when somebody is telling me that as a family they watch the show and as a family they laugh together. And I remember how important that kind of thing was in my family when we listened to Fred Allen on radio and laughed. It's the same as watching or listening in those years to a football game and being excited about our team winning. Those things that collect us, laughing together, being excited together, and the fact that we were able to gift a lot of people with that moment, I love that.
Well, here we are, 2016, and unfortunately, many of those social issues from the 60s and the 70s are glaring us in the face in the news again, especially the problem of racism. Does it surprise you that this is still a problem reoccurring all over again, or what?
I don't think it's recurring all over again. I think it's been there all the time. And it the waves coming in and going back and coming in and going back, it's a constant. And, you know, in a sense, it's more threatening today than it was then. Maybe that's because this is the moment. We're living this moment. And the fact that racism exists it's a human scandal.
Yes, that's a very good way to phrase it, a human scandal, indeed. Maybe it's time for a new Norman Lear sitcom, because I think we need to laugh.
Well, I just finished 13 weeks of one I think you're going to enjoy. It'll start on Netflix in January.
Oh, tell me about it.
It's a Latin version, a Cuban-American family. It's a version of One Day at a Time, a show I did years ago. But this is a Latino family with Rita Moreno playing the grandmother, Justina Machado the mother, and two children. And I think you'll like it.
I love Rita Moreno, so it's already starting off as a winner for me.
Yes,
she's such a classic.
I do too. And don't forget this, on the 25th of this month, Just Another Version of You on PBS.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, I got a last question here for you.
Yes.
Do you think would it be possible, if it were possible, could you cast Donald Trump as an Archie Bunker in a sitcom?
He's not worthy of that. he hasn't got sufficient talent to be an ordinary, to be a real human being. He's a cartoon character.
Well, okay. Somebody wanted me to ask you that.
I think he's what a have cartoon.
I think he's more of an entertainer more than a politician, and people get so worked up. I just see him as a
Bert Lahr was an entertainer. Bert Lahr was an entertainer too, and Fred Sanford was an entertainer too, but they had a degree of grace. I don't see any grace in Donald Trump.
And it's a little hard to find. I will have to definitely say that. I just want all of this to be over. Are you as tired of it as the rest of us are, or what?
Yes, and it will be over, like everything else.
Yeah, it will be over. Pass.
But the recovery from it may be a long time.
Yeah, the fallout is like that. It is. You're absolutely correct. Well, anyway, Mr. Norman Lear, thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. I couldn't have enjoyed it more.
Great way to start the morning off, I think, talking with a legend here.
I liked it, too. It took every moment of your time as much as mine. We're totally even, and nobody liked it more than I.
Oh, that's so kind of you. I really appreciate that. Well, we will be watching again on October 25th, Norman Lear, just another version of you, Nationwide, American Masters, 9 to 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time on PBS. And hopefully, I pray that you have a wonderful rest of the day. And thank you again.
Thank you, and I wish you a wonderful rest of life.
Oh, yes, I need it. Okay, then. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, I wasn't quite expecting that kind of an answer to the Donald Trump question, but I have a feeling here that maybe Norman Lear is not exactly a big fan of Donald Trump's by that response. Yeah, I think so. But anyway, just a great honor to talk with that. Anytime you can talk to a legend, whether it's in sports or film or television or music, it is such a thrill and always an honor to be able to do so. And I thank him very much for taking the time a few mornings ago last week to chat with me. And I think I've just had a great week. I mean, you talk to Deepak Chopra and Norman Lear all in the same week. You're doing pretty good. You're having a good week, I think. Okay, to further speak of very talented men and guests, we're going to roll it right along to our final guest here. We're talking about actor, comedian, director, filmmaker Greg Travis. Now, it took quite a few years for him to release his current film, Dark Seduction, which was released officially to this generation earlier this month, exactly October 11th, to be more exact. And it is a horror-type film, but as Greg will tell us here in a minute, it is a bit of a comedy, kind of sort of funny. It's it has danger, it's got seduction, vampires, blood-sucking vampires, except that these vampires are really gorgeous women. Yeah, I've got exotic, beautiful vampires, I should say. And they are, they're creating havoc. Yeah, they're gorgeous, but they're making a lot of problems, as most of us women do. So, but anyway, this film is in the classic noir film style, the black and white. It really makes it kind of cool. And these vampires are dressed in the 80s style. So it's kind of a throwback there on the fashion. But it's a lot of fun. And again, if you would like to see the documentary, The Making of Dark Seduction, it is available on YouTube. Just go to the YouTube site and type in Dark Seduction documentary, and it will download for you. But in the meantime, Dark Seduction is available on video on demand, movie on demand, and various other North American platforms that you can download and stream it and see it for yourself. So I think we've just chatted just about enough. So let's take a listen to my recent interview with Greg Travis as he chats more about the details, the backstory details of the making of Dark Seduction and how it all came about. So let's take a listen.
Jimmy John's America's number one sandwich delivery, fast ed speaking. I'm on my way.
I'm in the backyard here, Ed.
Wow, you are fast.
Yes, sir, freaky fast and freaky good. But I gotta say, I've never delivered to a dude in the doghouse.
Well, I'm definitely in the doghouse.
I thought in the doghouse was just an expression, a figure of speech.
Well, the doghouse is a very real place.
How long are you condemned to your canine quarters?
Too soon to tell, but on the bright side.
The doghouse has a bright side.
Yeah, the wife can't throw a lap this far.
Oh, I guess she's been working out.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky fresh.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Okay, everyone, thank you for continuing to listen to us here on Film Festival Radio Show with me, Janice Malone. Hope you enjoyed the previous chat with the legendary Norman Lear. Interesting things he had to say about Donald Trump, wasn't it? But anyway, to further speak of interesting, we have our next guest for this segment. He is a very talented, multi-talented guy. He's an actor, comedian, director, filmmaker, producer, writer. I'm just running out of breath here. He's got so many talents. The one and only Greg Travis. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Janice. How are you? My line is whatever pays the rent, you know? So I do all sorts of different things to keep it all going. But lucky enough, I've been able to sort of scratch out a living in this crazy business for about 40 years or 35 years now. So.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, Greg, that's a great record there. I think you're digging. Scratching is beyond that. You're digging.
A lot of ups and downs, but it's been a fun ride, and I'm sort of on my third act of getting back to filmmaking, which is why I came out to L.A. in the first place. And I got sidetracked as being a stand-up comedian for about 20 years, and then I did a pretty good run as an actor for about 15 years, and now I'm back to doing what I really wanted to do, which was direct films and hopefully get them out there.
In the spirit of Halloween, if things were not as creepy and spooky enough for Halloween, you've got this film, Dark Seduction, that was just released earlier this month, and this film has a lot of, I should say, interesting recipe of lesbians and vampires and danger and blood sucking. I mean, it's got all of the elements of a really scary movie here. So how did this all come about?
It does. It's basically a parody of a 1940s detective film with 80s vampire women as the bad guys. And so I've combined it, the two genres and the two different types of films together to make one cohesive, interesting little film. And everybody loves it. Everybody at the premiere screening, they laughed all the way through it, and they just had the best time, and they couldn't say enough positive things. So I'm real excited that people will get a big kick out of it and have a lot of fun with it. And it actually was made back in 1984 when I was a very young man. It was my first feature film to direct in Hollywood. And it just, the post-production ended up being a huge problem, and it got lost for a long time, and it, you know, and I had a lot of technical problems with the technology changing over as it was being finished, and it's just the one that got away, but I got it all back, thank goodness, and was able to finish it up this past year and get a distribution deal and put it out there. And so now it's on VOD, pay-per-view, cable, and MOD, which is movie on demand. You can order a DVD that way. And, you know, it's just getting the word out. And, yeah, it's perfect for Halloween. It's not too bad. It's not too scary. It's more funny than scary. You know, there's a lot of very funny characters, comedians that I cast in it, like the late Robert Schimmel and Mark Goldstein. We've had about four people pass away since we made the film, unfortunately, but their performances live on, so that's the beauty of film.
Well, now, I know you had a big screening and premiere there in Los Angeles earlier this month. Mm-hmm. Are there plans to do the film festival circuit or what?
We did a few festivals, the Action on Film earlier, and then a few others, but basically it's released now, and I'm going to try to do screenings around the country. I've got one in Tyler, Texas, as a matter of fact. On the 28th of October, we're going to be screening it there at a comic book convention, or one of those Comic-Con type conventions. Yeah. There in Tyler, Texas on the 28th of it. That's a Saturday evening. And so I'll be down there for that. And then I'm going to be screening it in different places and different locations. Not so much of festival screenings. That's sort of already, you know, been done. But more just, you know, different organizations and different conventions and different things like that. And then, you know, after the initial VOD release, we'll probably try to show it theatrically as a midnight movie eventually. And
that should be fun.
Yeah, because it's really the perfect midnight movie. I mean, it's funny, it's scary, it's, you know, it's silly, it's just got so many different things going on with it, and it's just a lot of fun.
Have you found people wanting to, or do they dress up, you know, in the vampire, the way they do for Rocky Horror, when they come
right,
to see
right.
the film?
Right, right. We had a
what?
Few people dressed up, you know, as vampire women and come as Serena and Vera on the premiere. But, yeah, I guess we'll hopefully see more of that as it progresses to a midnight movie. That'll be a lot of fun, you know.
And I also want to tell listeners that they can see a clip of Dark Seduction on YouTube. You've got some really cool clips there.
Done a documentary about the whole backstory of it called 30 Years of Dark Seduction, which is on YouTube as well. And,
okay.
And there's a Facebook page.
Facebook, okay. So what should they put in the search box of YouTube? Dark Seduction documentary, is that the right words or what?
30 Years, just 30 Years of Dark Seduction is the documentary. It's spelled out.
Yeah. Okay. And they can just download it and see it. And I know people will enjoy it, especially if you like, you know, that vintage style of film. And then, like you just said, it's also a lot of fun, very entertaining. Last question here. Now, how can people keep up with the schedule to find out if Dark Seduction is coming to their city for an event or a screening? Give us your website as to how they can find you.
The production website is GT Film Productions with an S .com. GTFilmProductions.com. And I'm Greg Travis on Facebook, and there's a Dark Seduction Facebook page. And we also have a Twitter, a dark _ seduction page. We're, you know, trying to cover all social media, which is a big part of getting it out there.
Oh, yes. Everything is social media nowadays.
Right,
so it sounds like for Halloween, then, you'll be traveling. You'll be in Tyler the 28th.
Yep.
Okay, so I guess, what are you going to stay over and celebrate with the people in Tyler for Halloween or what?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Dallas is my hometown, so it was a stroke of luck to be able to come back and visit for a little bit. I haven't been back in a while, so it'll be a lot of fun. Absolutely.
Well, that works out. That works out quite well. Then.
Definitely, thank you so much. I started along the way, but I did get the final film back, so that's what we'll be seeing, so. Yeah, but definitely thank you so much, Janice. I really appreciate the interview and your time and everything. And hopefully people will check it out.
Absolutely. Well, once again, Greg Travis, thank you for sharing some of the backstory. And then finally, it's gotten to the general public, Dark Seduction. It was worth the wait, I think.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay, that's Greg Travis, and we'll be back with more Film Festival Radio after this.
Film Festival Radio with Janice Malone will be right back after this.
When you don't go to GEICO.com, car insurance can be hard. like early 90s heavy metal hard.
I'm yelling and screaming and I'm loud. Roar.
Geico makes it easy. You can review and update your policy or report a claim on geico.com or the Geico mobile app. Because shouldn't we all have a little less stress in our lives?
I'm not even upset about anything!
It's that time of year, time to protect your family from the flu. Right now, get 10% off your grocery purchase at Tom Thumb just for getting a flu shot. You'll be in the good hands of a friendly Tom Thumb pharmacist, plus save on groceries. Use your reward card and get boneless whole beef brisket or St. Louis-style pork spare ribs for just $2.99 a pound. Fresh asparagus, $1.99 a pound. And Nestle Pure Life Water, 28-pack of 16.9-ounce bottles, 4 for $8.88. Tom Thumb, proudly serving North Texas since 1948.
Okay, that was Greg Travis, independent filmmaker, actor, director. And again, if you would like to see a copy of his latest film, Dark Seduction, if you want to see the making of Dark Seduction, it is available on YouTube, the documentary about the behind the scenes making of this film. So I want to thank everyone for listening to this edition of Film Festival Radio Show. Want to thank, of course, our guest, the one and only Norman Lear, for being with us to share information about his upcoming documentary on October 25th on American Masters on PBS. Make sure you check your local listings for the exact time. And also to Deepak Chopra for being with us to share with us some behind-the-scenes information about his seminars, The Future of Well-Being. And again, for those of you who are in the Nashville area, he will be in your city on October 26th at Vanderbilt University. And of course, I want to thank actor, director, comedian, filmmaker, Greg Travis, for being our guest to give us some insight as to the making of his current film, Dark Seduction. So in the spirit of Halloween, I think we should run out and go and look at Dark Seduction on video on demand or movies on demand. Download it and put your costume on while you're watching it. It'll be a lot of fun. But anyway, as always, thank you guys for listening. And we'll see you on the next edition of Film Festival Radio. So take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Film Festival Radio with your host, Janice Malone. Be sure to download this and other episodes at filmfestivalradio.com.